Thanks be to God that we do have a chance to be in the house of the Lord. I thank Pastor Chandler for the opportunity to share the good word with you tonight, and I trust it will be a blessing to you as already it has been to me. Thank God for his goodness. And want the Lord to bless those at the NOIC and do hope they have a great time together. Sound like it was going to have another great big crowd too, so God keep them safe. Also, I want to thank you for coming tonight. In our day and time that we're living in, there's all kinds of things that's trying to get us to do this and that, and go here and there, to believe this and that. But the only good place that you can find where truth is proclaimed is in the real house of God. And for being here tonight, I trust the Lord will touch you and bless you and help you tonight, as well as for myself and anybody else who might hear this message. Because the title of my message tonight is The Battle for Your Mind. We live in a day and time when there is just all kinds of things bombarding us, trying to get us to pay attention to their way of thinking or their way of presenting something to us that will cause us to receive it and embrace it. Oh, I can't just receive it anymore. You're supposed to embrace it and to be able to enjoy it and to think, hey, all is well and all is good, whenever we know that not everything is all well and good. Tonight, my message starts with a text out of the book of Luke. I'm going to start chapter 22 and I'm going to start in verse number 28. And there are some things in this that should excite you and I as we read through them and see what God has to share at this particular time with his disciples, but also how that can apply to you and I in our lives and the day and hour that we're living in. One of the good things about God's word is it wasn't just for one period in history, one group of people, but it was meant to be read and displayed and to be understood by any and all who will look to God for the interpretation and what the word of God says. Verse number 28 starts out, says, ye are they. Yep, that's what it says. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. 29 says, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. Well, he's talking to his disciples. Now, I'm telling you, whenever he says, I appoint unto you a kingdom, when God says, I'm giving you something like this, there ought to be some hand clapping and shouting and praising and thanking God. Hey, Lord, that sounds wonderful. He says, I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may... I need to go to verse... Is that verse 30? That you may eat and drink at my table, yes, in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I want you to know that's a pretty grand statement that the Lord was making to his disciples at this time. God does make some exceedingly great and precious promises, and they are ours for the receiving if we will do and act in certain ways. There is some responsibilities on our part, but hey, the big smorgasbord of blessings and goodness is laid out for us. Anybody want to go to heaven? Yeah, why don't you want to go to heaven? Who wouldn't want to go to heaven? I see there's everlasting peace. You have good health, your joy, you get to be with the Lord. All good things are happening there. Yeah, so why wouldn't anybody want to go there? But there's still folks that don't want to do the next part of things that are so important for us to be able to make it all the way to the glory end. There is a prize for each and every one of us that will be faithful to God. It's his promises to you and I. But like everything else in life, there's also usually a downside in life. Life happens to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is impacted in a different way by the circumstances we find ourselves in. Each and every one of us are unique in what we will do and not do in those circumstances. But glory be to God, he can help us through each and everything because he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He will always make a way, one way or another, because he's that kind of a God. All right. Okay, let's go to the next verse then. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. I want you to know that whatever you face in life, you do not face it alone. Jesus told Peter, he said, yes, Satan wants to have you. And I want you to know he doesn't want to just have you. He wants to sift you like wheat. Now, I've never sifted wheat. I have been involved with filtering stuff out of wheat. I have seen my mother in times past, I can't remember, probably my wife too, take flour and put it in a sifter and shake it out until you got only the finest of the wheat. But he says Satan wants to do that to you. And I don't know whether you've ever had a day when you feel like you've been beaten, you've been mistreated, things have certainly not gone your way. The devil wants to try to destroy us and to beat us down and to take away anything good that the God has to be offered to us and have brought into our lives. He says, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I want you to know I have prayed for you. And I want you to know when you got Jesus on your side, you've got the winning victory. You're going to be able to make it through it without any trouble whatsoever. Well, maybe I better not say whatsoever. There's tough times and rough times, but you know that Jesus is going to win no matter what. He is the ultimate victory giver, and he will never, ever fail. We may fail him, and we may have trouble along life's journey, but if we will stick close to him, he will always be able to bring us through. Strengthen that brother. I got things for you to do, Peter. Okay, well, that sounds well and good. What else can we say? And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready. That's the next verse. I am ready to go with thee, even into prison and death. Now, how many of you have ever made a commitment to God that said you would always walk with him? I imagine about everybody here has made some kind of commitment like that to the Lord. We can be, I don't want to say boastful, but we are really intend to be committed to God each and every day of our life. And Peter's just telling the Lord flat out, well, yeah, but he may do that, but I'm going to you with you, Lord, all the way. Even if I have to go to prison, even if I die, I am ready to do it all, Lord. And the Lord tells him in the next verse, though, he said, Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow when? Not tomorrow, not 6 months down the road, but this day before that thou shalt, how many times? Thrice deny that thou knowest me. Not that you're a friend of me, not that you knew who I was, but that you even knew me. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's a pretty sharp comeback to somebody who has just declared their eternal dedication to you. But he says, yeah, you're going to deny me three times before this day is over. What a sobering thought. You know, you and I don't know what we're going to face on a daily basis. We don't know how times are going to change or what's going to be found in our pathway here in the days and the hours ahead. And Peter, you're going to face it. Now, what's going to happen when you do is going to be what's your character, what you're really like. And if we reach on, read on down there a little bit further, and he said to thee, the cock shall not crow this day before you shall deny me thrice. Peter was about to experience the biggest devastation that he would probably ever face in his life, because he's going to find out the Lord does know all things, doesn't he? He does know what's in our hearts, what we're capable of, what we're not capable of, and then to see what we will do with that situation. If we drop down into verse number 60 of Luke 22, and Peter said, man, and this is Peter speaking, this is after the Lord had already been arrested, and said, "Man, I know what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. So it's happening just like the Lord told Peter, hey, it's going to happen just like I said. And then we find out, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I don't know about you. Can you imagine the look in Peter's eyes as the Lord turned on him and he realized what had just taken place? Just like the Lord said, I failed. Have you ever failed the Lord in your actions and deeds? Thank God he's a merciful God, right? I'm glad his mercies were new even this morning to me. And the Lord said unto him before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And then we have next verse. This is the one that really tells us what was on the inside of Peter's heart. Okay, you and I can fail the Lord, and we no doubt do on more basis than what we would really like to think so. But the end result is, what do we do about it? How do we handle those days and hours when we find ourselves coming short of what we understand the Lord would expect of us? It says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. And that happened almost immediately. He didn't hang around. He didn't get down in the molly grubs. He didn't berate himself, but he went out, and it says, and he wept bitterly. What you and I do in reaction to the circumstances of life that we face will determine our final outcome. In this case, you know, that's a pretty serious offense that Peter just presented to the Lord. Even denying knowing him. But yet, because of his heart, he was able to find the right way. You can never go wrong repenting of bad actions and asking God to forgive you and to help you. And it helped Peter to go on and to become the apostle that he would be for the Lord. Same thing can be true in our lives. We can find ourselves kind of in the backside of things once in a while. But if we will continue to look for God, look to God, we know that he is faithful and that he is just in being able to bring us through to victory. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, our circumstances in life. Well, I'll tell you what. I remembered a verse I wanted to share before I go any further, and I don't have this in my notes, so I'm just going to read it for you. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee and dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. And that is, no, it's 7 I wanted to say. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I tell you what, folks, in our day and age, having a sound mind is worth an awful lot. It's worth all the money in the world. It's worth all the wealth that the world could offer you. It's worth a lot to have the love of God in your heart and know that he cares for you. For you and you and you and you and me. And I tell you what, God does know what he's doing. Now, I was looking to see some of the thoughts and things that are competing against you and I on a daily basis. There seemed to be a very short list that seemed to be in most of the categories that I looked at. But you know, there are things that compete for our thoughts, our times, our efforts, and things that happen around about us that are fairly common, not only to one and to all. There was one of them that it talked about work being a place that caused concerns and issues in people's lives. And since I don't work anymore outside, I guess that one goes by the wayside. I'm sorry. I do remember what it was like, but, you know, I don't have to worry about that right now. But many of you still do. You know, you go to work, I can remember times whenever you was worried about how stable your job really was. When I was younger, I remember a gentleman telling me, and this was before I actually really got away from home, he says, oh, if you work for a utility, you may not make the most money, but you will always have a job. And that was true for a while. But you know, hardly anything in this true is steady over time. Our life is, our world is made up of changes that are happening, lickety split space and time. You can be something that seemed good and stable today, but tomorrow, I don't know. And if you look around about us, and maybe you're one of them that's even experienced some troubles where you got laid off, your company went away completely, the job is not there anymore, and then you've got to make adjustments and move on. What about family problems? You worry about your children, or you think about your children a lot, and you're wondering, is this going to be all right? Is that going to be all right with this one, that one? And one thing I found out, whenever they get married, that kind of multiplies. It's not a bad thing, don't get me wrong, but, you know, life is life. People have issues. People have trouble. People have things that capture their attention and their needs. And whenever you start thinking and putting all of these things together, what I found out is, you have a complicated life these days. There's all kinds of things that's troubling and can be worrisome to you and can be thought-provoking and problem issues and all kinds of things. Your parents, well, my parents are gone, my wife's parents are gone, but now our kids have probably got to start worrying about us. You know, it's about that time, you know. But that's life. Life marches on. What about your siblings? You know, most of them live away from me and have for a long time, so I don't have as much to do with them as what you would think at one time. But, you know, all these can be play into your life in a very impactful way. And when you start crowding all these things together in your daily life, it can be very stressful. What about your health? Aging issues. They say age is only a number. $1 million is only a number too, but I don't get to enjoy it. Now, I'm happy with how old I am. I wouldn't want to have to start over again. I know that I'm on the downhill side of life, but that doesn't mean life is bad or anything is wrong. It does mean that I'm probably closer to glory than most of you. So there is a good side to everything. What about your physical well-being? You know, that can be a worrisome thing. And I'm sure among us there are many that are dealing with a health issue of some kind or other that is not pleasant, but you have to deal with them. But it can be a strain on you and those around about you. Your fitness level, your mental level. Are you a happy person? Are you a sad person? Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Do you always get up on the wrong side of the bed? You know, that's some people's way of life and those around about them. Do you worry a lot about this thing and that person and that situation? Do you find yourself depressed? Your mental health is a big part of what you are and what you can be to others and help others. Are you at peace? Are you lonely? Are you bored? Are you empty? These are all things that can impact who we are and what we are and how we react to a life situation. Now, so far, all this stuff is not always positive, is it? But it's stuff that you and I face on a daily basis. We have to deal with them. And most of them are not just going to go away because you don't want to have to acknowledge them. They are part of what you are and what I are, what I will be and can be. I mentioned work. You know, how satisfied are you? What is your job environment? Are you happy? Are you peer pressure? Do you have a lot of peer pressure? Are your leaders people that can't even get out of bed right each day? Or are they great leaders? How do they impact your life? What are your corporate demands? What are your obligations that you have in life? Not only to yourself, to your family, but to others that you're involved with. What about anger? Ooh, do you ever get angry? Do you stay angry? Do you ever have issues that just seem they will never, ever go away? You ever ask for the Lord to do something? He does it. And next thing you know, what's right back? Same problem. It just doesn't seem to ever go away. How have you ever felt like life's not fair? Why is this happening to me? How about some of the goals you might have for life? Maybe you don't have any goals. Maybe you're so far behind those goals gone by the wayside, you're not even thinking about them anymore. You know, all these things are part of who you and I are, and how we face them and how we react to them overall will determine how successful and how far we can go in our life's fulfillment. You know, there is a time coming when those in power, and if you're looking for the government to bail you out, I think you're going to be in for a great disappointment. But in Revelation chapter 13, it talks about a beast that arises out of the earth. It says he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Sometimes miracles are not from the Lord. Sometimes they're there to satisfy the curiosity and the drawing of humanity. Sometimes you're going to find that the government is going to do things that are going to force you almost to do things that you don't want to do. How many enjoyed some of the lockdowns and stuff that we had during COVID? I didn't. Did I try to do what was right and best and from what information they had given me? Yeah. But did I like it? That is probably just a sampling of what we may be facing in the future. Many of the freedoms that we have known in our country over the years is slowly slipping away from us. And that's a very sad, sad thing. Pray for our government. Pray for those in the leadership there that they will get the mind of Christ or whatever it would take for them to do the right things and understand that, hey, God is in control. You can bash him. You can do anything, say he doesn't exist or anything. You can have 20,000 gods in your mind, but there is only one God. There is only one Lord of lords and King of all kings. There is one who is going to have his way in the affairs of men. And you better be on his side or you're going to lose. Praise God. All kinds of influencers are in our lives today. I don't know of any other time when we are bombarded from the outside in trying to make our own decisions and life choices. You know, whenever I was, let me just go down somewhat of my list here. There's people all around about us. Usually we can appreciate them and their input. There's family members, there's friends, there's neighbors, there's co-workers. One of the areas that I see has changed so much in my lifetime especially has come from the media. The media today is so much different than what it used to be. Used to be you could read the newspaper. I don't know that anybody takes hardly any newspapers anymore. Used to be people would take a local, a regional, and even a national one sometimes. But they are falling by the wayside. And then there's the TV news stations. When I was growing up, we were finally able to get a TV. And we could get three stations, I think. Yeah. Yeah, our picture tube was about that big around. You didn't have to sit across the room to be able to see everything, I can guarantee you. But that's all changed. And the TVs, of course, one of the big things that has changed everything has been the computers and cell phones and the media. Let me see, what is the term I'm looking for here? The social media channels that's out there today. I mean, there's people out there just, they can tell you anything and everything, and some people seem to be believing it and moving on with it. But these are all, they even have what they call influencers. Okay, I don't know that they've been influencing me yet because, well, I haven't been watching them. Maybe that's the other side of that. But, you know, that's what they're doing. All of these things from the media are coming in. What are they trying to do? They're trying to tell you what is true, what is not true, and to try to get you to buy their products, to believe in their philosophies or whatever it is they're presenting to you. But they have all come to try to get you to accept them and to believe them. This is part of the battle for the minds that you and I are dealing with on a daily basis. And not only on us, but on our family members, our neighbors, everybody that's around about us. Some people apparently can't hardly do anything without a cell phone and reading it. It's really something when you see two or three or five people sit down for a meal and two or three or five of them's got their phones out. Yeah, can't talk to one another. Well, they may be talking to one another, but they're texting them. Yeah, I was sitting down one time with some people, and that's what they're. One was sitting here, and one sitting right beside them. They were texting one another. Okay, that's not the way we used to do it. Okay, no surprise there. Okay, so what about all this? I am afraid that Satan is the one putting forth a lot of stuff to try to confuse people or to try to get him not to follow the Lord himself. Satan is a great deceiver. He's been deceiving man from the time Adam and Eve were in the garden. And he does know what he's doing, and he does know how to manipulate things that people will pay attention to him. Some of the things I was thinking about along those lines says, don't worry, be happy. Yes. Let the good times roll. Oh, nothing bad will happen. Worked on Eve, didn't it? You know, so still working today. Oh, God really doesn't care for you or anything about you. Or they will never know. Sounds like a teenager's dream. They will never know. But, you know, there's nothing hidden from God. He does see and he does know all things. We live in a very fast-paced life cycle. We are going, sometimes it feels like 100 miles an hour all day long. And can't hardly wait to fall in bed. And when you fall in bed, you can't sleep because you got all these things going through your mind. Complications pile up and sometimes you don't just know which way to turn. Sometimes stuff happens to us that we'd have no control over. Does that make it fair? Does that make it right? Makes it life. Really makes it life. And sometimes you just get sucked into something you didn't want to be a part of. So what can we do about this earth's rat race? How can we manipulate ourselves and make things come out the way they really should? Okay. I've got several verses here I'm going to read to try to answer some of this, and then I have some comments to make toward the end. In Luke chapter 10, verse number 41 and 42, 41 says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Don't ever put the things most important at the mercy of things that are of lesser importance. One thing is needful, and Martha has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, this is an interesting time to be telling that because they had all gathered at Martha's house. What do you do when somebody shows up to your house? You just said, oh, go sit in the living room and we'll have a good time together. Don't feed them, don't drink it, don't give them anything to drink, don't do anything for them, just say, go in there. That's kind of what Mary did. But the most important thing going on at that point in time was listening to Jesus. And she did pick that part, which is important for all of us to know. No matter what things are going around about us, hey, when it comes time for setting time for the Lord, don't be afraid to do that. Don't let other things infringe on your time with God. And I know it's awful easy to happen, but please do not let things supplant the place that God needs to be in your life. Okay, moving on. Proverbs, just the first part of Proverbs 23 and 7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." There's more to it, but that's the main part of it. And, you know, how you think and how you act and what you feel good about and what you spend time on is very, very important. Because as your heart is, that's the way it's going to be. For where your, for where your treasures are, there will be your heart also. I tell you what you think about, what you do is very, very important, which takes us down to Philippians 4, 8, and 9. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." These things which ye have both, what? Have you really learned them? Have you read this verse enough time or thought about this verse enough time that you've really learned about what he's trying to tell us here? He says, if you think on these things, there's a reason why God has put that in these scriptures here for us. For if you've learned and you receive them and believe them and heard and seen in me, do, why? And the God of peace shall what? Be with you. There's a reward for this thing. We do these things and actually embrace them and take them and apply them to our lives. There's a reward right there for you. That's what God wants us to know. All right. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." You know, God has a way in this book of explaining things that's far and above what you and I are able to know and comprehend. But he tells us, you know, hey, one thing you need to do, get wisdom. Get knowledge. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Because God wants us to know how he expects us and wants us to act. It's not supposed to be a blind leading the blind here. This is the Almighty God leading you and I down the path of right living. Hallelujah. All right, let's see what else I have here. Okay, Psalm 37 and 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And what? "And he delighteth in his way." Aren't you glad the Lord likes you and likes me? "And if you do trip and fall," hey, listen, that's not the end of our lives. Proverbs 24 and 16 reminds us, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But what happens to the wicked? He's going to fall into mischief that he's trying to promote." So, in ending tonight, how do you want to conduct your life? And I'm just going to make suggestions and three different things to pass along to you. Number one, I'd say start as you want to finish. By that I mean, hey, how do you start your day? How do you start in anything that you're going to do? Do you really want to finish it? I mean, I've had jobs that I really didn't want to do. And so I can't say that I always started it with a highest of expectations. But, you know, a lot of times when you finish something up, that's pretty good. That wasn't so bad. Start the way you want to finish it. And by the way, that's a great way to start your day. Psalms 63, 1 and 2 says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." It isn't coming from anybody else but God. "To see thy power and thy glories, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." We all need to come to the house of the Lord. There's a reason why we're supposed to assemble ourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's because God has something here that you cannot get at home. Now, he can bless you anywhere and everywhere, so don't get me wrong in that thought. But there is a special blessing that God attributes to people when they gather together and worship him. Because in the presence of the Lord, there's a fullness of joy you can't get any other place. There's a feeling that you can enjoy that is, well, it's just almost beyond expectations or on comprehension, I should say. Number two, commit your life to God. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit like you like men, be strong. So what is it saying here? What are we supposed to do? Watch. We need to be careful of the things that we see and have going on around about us, that just by being there, we don't get sucked in, as I mentioned a little bit earlier. I don't know whether you, but I've been around things that I tried to avoid. Sometimes you can do that, and other times you got to be real careful because it can seem like it brings you right in whether you want to or not. And then you want to present yourself as a good example. Be sure to watch. We need to stand fast. Don't be in and out. Don't be high and low. Don't be here and there. Be sure and stand fast and not to be one of those that's, well, I guess you say wishy-washy, hot or cold. You know, they're just not with it all the time. We walk with Jesus when? Every day. It's like the old kindergarten story about the little girl who asked her teacher, says, hey, can you live for God all your life? I want to, but, you know, I can't always guarantee everything. Then she finally got down to day and the hour, and can you live for God by minute? And the teacher says, yes, I can do that minute by minute. And that's what you and I do. Every day, every hour that we live for Jesus, we're putting up something that is incomprehensible in this life, and that's the eternal, going to be receiving the eternal weight of glory. Because whatever you sow, you are going to reap. You sow good things every day, every part of your life, and you're going to reap those great things in the end because he's going to see to it. Commit yourself. Be strong. Be on guard. Don't let anything sneak up on you because the old devil, he's out like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to get you, and he will try to get you and I, but God will see to it that we are not undefended. He will make a way always. And let's move on to the last one here. I'm going to move on to the next. Make God a priority throughout your day. And, you know, talking, you hear a lot about starting out your day and prayer and talking to God and everything, reading your Bible, and I try to do that. I can't say I'm always successful every day, but, you know, I try to make sure I start my day with contemplation about God, who he is, what he's done for me, being appreciative of all of that, and pray for help and guidance throughout my day. But, you know, it shouldn't stop there. He told us in one place to pray without ceasing, okay? There should be something in our daily activities and everything that God is a part of. So don't just relegate him to the morning. Don't just relegate him to the night. Or don't relegate him just to service. But make God a part of your life every part of the day as well. Hallelujah. So there we go. I'm going to stop right there. I've got four things to remind you of in closing. Number one, there is a reward for the faithful of God. God has some marvelous things available to the church all those that do serve him and walk with him. If you want to be among that number, then, hey, listen, this down here is nothing. Really isn't. It's nothing compared to all the blessings and the glories and everything else that's to be experienced when this life is over and the Lord takes his church home. And the Lord will take his church home. There will be a church that's going to go. We just need to make sure we're in it. Make our calling and election sure every single day and make sure everything's right with him. Number two, there will be trouble along the way. You know, may be some to your own making. I have been known to make a mistake myself. But, you know, that's life. Life happens to anybody and everybody. And there's outside forces coming along against us. But one thing you got to know and we got to realize is God lets a lot of things happen to us, not only to prove his love for us, but that we are capable to doing so much more than what we realize and to develop us into the person and to the individual that he wants us to be and to be like that for the world. And number three is how we respond to those circumstances will determine our final results. Hey, I want to be successful. I want to be found faithful. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear him say, hey, come up hither. We're all going to heaven together. Let's go. I want to be in that grand gathering up in heaven whenever he does all of that. Let's stand together. Finally, may God bless each of you tonight. May God bless and guide you throughout not only this day, but every day that you spend upon this old earth. May God continue to illuminate our paths. May God show us the ways that we can do and fulfill his great plan for our lives. If you would now join me in this play of a dismissal prayer. Dear God Almighty, we do thank you for your great goodness. You, Lord, know all things, and you know how to bless and help and guide us. Do pray that you'd put up a barrier against those things that would try to destroy our minds, that would try to hinder us, Lord, in our walk with you, that we might not only be a blessing to our family and those around about us, but that we may always, Lord, in words, actions, and deeds, honor you. God bless everyone. Bless this church. Bless Pastor Chandler and his family and all that are gone this week. God be with them and do bless their time. In Jesus' name, thank you for it all, God. Amen. Amen.